Greetings. Today we are going to speak about learning to walk in the love of God. I know a young man called, he's 14, Clayton Jacobs, who lives in Humansdorp, a small town near Port Elizabeth in South Africa. He had water on his brain and went into a deep coma for 2 years. The doctors had given up hope for him to ever come out of it, and if he did, he would be paralyzed for life. His parents, though, both Christians, would not hear of it and brought Clayton home, where they kept him alive by feeding him on a drip. When they heard I had come to Port Elizabeth to preach, they asked the Reverend Alan Stansbury to bring me over to their home to pray for him. Alan took me to their home and I prayed for Clayton, but nothing happened. And I could not imagine anything worse than to be in a position like Clayton. He could not even move one muscle in his body except his eyeballs, which followed you as you went round and prayed for him. On the way back, I was so upset, I cried out to God, "Please, Lord, never let me leave a child in that condition because of my lack of faith. Please, Lord, give me more faith." I then returned to England, still praying for Clayton. And about a week later or so, I get an email from Alan Stansbury. He said, "Dear Suzanne, you'll be thrilled to hear this. Do you remember Clayton Jacobs and his mother Wilma in Humansdorp, whom you prayed for? Clayton was almost a cabbage, like a cabbage, and you were so upset that there was no response to the prayer. I want to let you know that this man, young man, is now perfectly restored and going to a primary school and is obviously a bit behind in his years. But the only deficiency that can be seen is a pair of glasses. His brain and body is just perfect. Isn't the Lord good? So, Suzanne, keep on with the Lord. That's all I can say. You've come such a long way with him. What a joy to see how the Lord can minister in such wonderful ways. Ever your brother in Christ, Alan Stansbury." I was then to find out that exactly 7 days after I'd prayed for Clayton, he suddenly sat up and talked, perfectly healed. 2 years later, I had the privilege to meet Clayton, and Alan took me out to see him. We actually filmed it, and it's on my DVD on suzannesministries.co.uk, so you can download it yourself and watch everything that happened. Well, Clayton gave his testimony and ran around the garden, blew his trumpet and showed his that he was 100% healed. He was to become a pastor. It was at this meeting that I asked the Lord, "What did I do right or wrong, Lord? Why was Clayton healed and yet others not healed? Did anything make the difference?" And the Lord showed me the shortest sentence in the Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept. And that was just before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. In verse 36, "Then the Jews said, 'Behold how he loved him.' Then the Lord said, 'It is love that makes things happen. Love that makes you go the extra mile. Love that never gives up.' And the greatest love of all is found in John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And this is the greatest love the world has ever known. But love for others is not always easy for us to comprehend or move into. For it's different from how the world around us functions. And only by spending time in the Lord's presence can give you the love and compassion needed to really do the Lord's work effectively. And while trying to evaluate my own ministry work, I came to realize that I certainly didn't have compassion or love for everyone I prayed for. In fact, that would be quite difficult to have love and compassion for so many pray. And I said, Lord, how do I solve that one? And I then realized that this had nothing to do with me or how I prayed for them, but rather how yielded I was to God's love and God's miracle love to heal them, for it is God alone who does it. It's God's love that gives the compassion for that certain person or people. His love causes us to leave the comfort of home, to go to other countries to preach the gospel. In John 21, 15 to 18, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And when Peter said yes, the Lord said, "Feed my sheep." This was not to put right the fact that Peter denied him prior to Jesus' crucifixion, but an indicator that the more we love Jesus, the more Jesus can pour out his love through us. Now, we need to walk in love, and this is by the grace of God. So I want to speak on that a bit. To comprehend the love of God, we need to go to the scriptures. Grace is God's favor towards man, which involves forgiveness, salvation, regeneration, repentance, and love. It speaks of undeserved favor. Grace is preferred almost to mercy because it includes that of a divine power that equips man to live a moral life. And every step the Christian life is due to grace. Galatians 1:15 is a call. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace." So we are born by grace. 2 Timothy 2:25 speaks of repentance. "In meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God pre-adventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth." Ephesians 2:8-9 speaks of faith. "For by grace you are saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 1:5 speaks of obedience. "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." Romans 8:28-30 speaks of future glory. "And we know that all things work together for God to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, and also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. Therefore, grace must also be related to that of eternal life. This is what God has given us through his grace. Grace is woven right through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And to study these passages, which are many, will really encourage you. I had a horse called Jaws stolen. And, well, I didn't know how to get George back. It was a very unreasonable woman. So I looked to the Bible. And he led me to Luke 29. "And to him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer the other. And he that take away your cloak, let it take your coat also." "Lord, how will that get George back?" The Lord said, "Wait." I waited 3 months. And then he told me to put £10, £200 and £10 notes in an envelope, get into my horse box, and he said, "The lady will release George today." So I drove over, took down the ramp, and went and found her sitting on a straw bale. And I said to her, "I know that you really are a good lady inside and will do the right thing in releasing George to me today. So I've brought you this gift," and I handed the money. She counted it slowly. "Yes, you may take George now," she said. She called her daughter over, who was riding him, and her daughter dismounted, handed me the reins, and I took George home, thanking the Lord all the way. The next day, the lady phoned me. "I haven't slept all night. I have to ask you this question. I stole George, and for 3 months you did nothing, and then you gave me a gift of money. Why did you do that?" I said, "Because God loves you." "How can God love me?" she blurted up. "I've hurt so many people." "God loves you so much," I replied. "He took your hurt, your sin, your problems upon himself and died on the cross for you." She burst into tears. "I want to become a Christian right now. I will never hurt another person again," she said. and I led her through the sinner's prayer, and her life was totally transformed from that moment. Was this God's grace, or was it God's love, or both? I thought. God treats us differently to how man treats us. If that lady had gone to jail, she would probably have come out of jail just as hard and as unchanged. But God, through his grace and love, gave her a second chance, as he does for each one of us. His love breaks down the hardest heart and brings us instead his salvation and eternal life. God's love is the most precious and glorious thing of the universe. Nothing can compare with it. Love is two-way. The more we love God, the more he loves us. You can never outgive God. He gives back to us so much more than we are able to give to him. The first commandment, Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "And you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your might." This is God's command. Not just obedience to the law, but rather he's calling us into a relationship of personal devotion, created and sustained by the work of God in our human hearts. And the response is found in Deuteronomy 7:9. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, that keeps commandment and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." And Deuteronomy 7:13 says, "And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your corn and your wine and your oil, the increase of your kind and the flocks of thy sheep in the land." And not only this, God will also defend those he loves. Psalm 5:11, "But let those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defends them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in you." Psalm 145:20, "The Lord preserves all them that love him, and all the wicked he will destroy." Proverbs 8:21, "That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures." The Lord also blesses us material. Jeremiah 31 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you." Here God demonstrates his love in the greatest way in Romans 5:8. "But God commandeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then Jesus gives us a new commandment in John 13:34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Why? John 13:35 gives the answer. "By this you shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Love is ordained by God to be the normal, ideal human relationship. It is the love of God to man, man to God, and man to his neighbor. This results in something even more wonderful in John 14:21. "He that hath my commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." John 14:23 says, Jesus answered, said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make my abode with him." How? Romans 5:5. "And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us." The Holy Spirit dwells in us, filled with the love of God. How do these scriptures then prepare us to serve him? Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love him, to them that are called according to his purpose." Romans 8:35-39, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And Ephesians 3:17-19 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And the eternal love of God is found in 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered unto the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me that day, and not only to me, but all them that love his appearing. And James 1:12 says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to them that love him. And the crown of life is eternal life with God in heaven. And James 2:5 says, hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which is prepared for them that love him? This tells us that love makes us rich, not money. Money can't buy eternal life, but love can. Love is the most precious thing that you can possess. And 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love our brethren. He that loves not his brethren abides in death. And 1 John 4:17, herein our love is made perfect, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. And Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. How can anyone still live in any fear that God might not love him? No one can. And 1 John 4:80 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not perfect in love. Jesus demonstrated his compassion and love on earth in his healing and deliverance ministry and by his death on us on the cross. Christ's resurrection on the third day is the greatest demonstration of love of God imparting the eternal reality of life to man, his divine love in action. We can also show our love to God and others by preaching the gospel. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And 2 Corinthians 5:17-19, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and he that committed unto us the word of reconciliations. Individuals are loved by God under a new covenant. And Galatians 2:20 says, and crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself to me. To my understanding, if I love God and God loves me, and through his Holy Spirit, Jesus lives in me, then it means that as I preach the good news of the kingdom of God, God, through his Holy Spirit, enables me to walk in any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit because I walk in the new covenant. These healing miracles are weekly and daily occurrences as we pray for many individuals, and this will work for you as well. For Jesus alone can heal the sick and set the people free through our response to God's love. His love involves fellowship with the people of God as well. We reach out to them and God touches them, heals them, sets them free, and brings them into his salvation and love. Remember who you are in Christ, as we read in 1 Peter 2:9-10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past you were not a people, but now the people of God. Once you had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. So in all humility, let us place our trust in God and our relationship with him. Let us love him, receive his love, obey him, and allow him to show his practical love to others through us. God bless you so much. And if you have not received Jesus as Lord and Savior yet, I think this morning is a good time to do it. Just say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you as I am. Please forgive me every sin I've ever done. I thank you so much for dying on the cross to make this possible. Thank you for forgiving me my sin. Please come into my heart and life as my Lord and Savior. Teach me how to love. Teach me how to live for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Have you said that prayer? Start praying daily. Get to know God. And listen to him speak. He will speak to you. When you hear him speak to you, obey him. Buy yourself a Bible and read it. It will train you in truth and righteousness. Find yourself a Bible-believing church and join it. They will teach you. Get baptized in water to confirm your decision to follow Christ, because baptism cuts you off from the kingdom of darkness, and then you are transformed into the kingdom of heaven for all eternity. You are born to eternal life. God bless you so much, and I'll now hand back to our host.
Divine message. We just and it was just from one Arabic from Saudi. He came here, he made a crusade, he made a Muslim crusade. And then he declared this country as a Muslim state. Then the church, then one of our pastors in this country said, this country is not Islamic state, and they are arresting and even the closest church. So I want this morning to sit and to pray. We have been praying against Ebola in this country. Ebola stopped. We have been praying against violence has stopped. And now, and we don't want religious conflict in the country because the enemy wants to destroy this country. That's why the man from Saudi, he came here, gather people in the stadium and declare States Union is a Muslim state. But we are standing as a church that this country is not a Muslim state. And that we are standing, this nation belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you, Susan, this morning to help us, because there's a heavy tussle across the nations right now. In social media, people are challenging, people are bringing in
Lord Jesus, we lift up the country of Sierra Leone to you. Lord, we pray that each believer, each Christian, each leader, every pastor, every one of the congregation, rise up and stand for you. Lord, that they receive your love and that they rise up and live out of the heart of your love, loving God and loving one another, that the world might see that they are truly your disciples. Lord, it is love that makes the difference between Christianity and any other religion. And so, Lord, as the people rise up in their faith and live out their faith as a Christian should, that they will lead everyone in their country to know you as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
One came and an evangelist went this morning to pray for Sierra Leone leaders across the nation of Sierra Leone this morning. I know all of you are listening to this broadcast this morning, and I want you to pass the message to a strong believer that the enemy cannot destroy the church. He wants to play games to destroy the church. That's why this Islamic man came and declared this country in the national stadium and said, this country is an Islamic state. We are standing, so I want you as a church, you as the body of Christ, I want you to stand with us. We are fighting to see that God in his glory will shine upon this nation. We are not fighting flesh and blood. We are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we are fighting against principalities and powers. This is a power that the enemy wants to use to destroy this, our beloved nations. Friend out there, this is my word for you this Sunday morning. I want you, when you go to church, challenge and pray spiritual warfare that the devil cannot destroy this country. We are a peaceful country. We are not a rebellious country. That's why the enemy wants to invade this country and declare this country as an Islamic state. But the history of this country, let me say this before Susan is going to play, the history of this country is about the history of the Church of Jesus Christ have been established in 1926 in this country. So the devil don't have anything to do with this country. So the devil is a liar. This country is the Christian country. It belongs to the believers. But the devil, because he has seen that the church, we are marching on. That's why he just raised up with this group to destroy your faith. But I want to challenge you, people of God, stand with your faith as what? And then Susan has said, stand with your faith. Stand and stand for the truth. Don't allow the enemy to destroy you. So friends, this morning, we are going to ask the woman of God to pray for the body of Christ. You know, let me tell you, it's only the power of unity and love will strengthen us. And then that's our brothers, they have arrested. And then I want the church, we as the body of Christ, as we are standing, as we are with him, let's continue to pray. Let's continue to stand so that they will release their church, they will open their church. The government will open their church so that the church cannot close to worship. So this morning I ask the woman of God to pray that that church, Sanctuary Praise, will be open. That's the name of the church, Sanctuary Praise. And I want all of you to join us this morning in this wonderful prayer. Susan is going to lead us that that church will be open back again, that that pastor will be released and continue with the preaching of the gospel in this country.
Lord Jesus, we raise up every believer, every pastor and the church to stand for you in the name of Jesus, to go out and preach the word, to live the life of love, that the people will surely see that you are Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.